Welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Thursday evening service of Fishermen Ministry in South Carolina.
Greatly to be praised. Thank you for another day to serve you, to worship you, and for the conference that we just had. May we truly go forth, Lord, Learn your ways and walk in them. May you bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
A lot of you know bits and pieces of what has happened in my life. And everybody had the flood, but I think I probably was the worst victim of it. But it was a blessing in disguise. In the flesh, it looks like I was a victim. But in the Lord, I'm triumphant. Because everything, there's a lot of things that were on my plate that I didn't know how I was going to accomplish. And, of course, in the natural, the flesh trembles in fear of things that they cannot control. And instead of putting my eyes on the Lord, I gave in to the natural man. And I praise God that I had my disciple that I could call, that could get me back on track. And I know she said a lot to me, but the main thing was trust God. Don't trust what you can see. Don't trust people around you. Don't trust people in the ministry. Trust God. Because people are human. People are going to make mistakes. And they make just as many mistakes as you do. And no matter how hard they try, the flesh sometimes gets the best of us. All of us. But if we put our faith and trust in God, who is perfect, who will not leave us nor forsake us, as His Word says, and He will be our strong tower. He will be our fortress. He will be there in our time of need. And He has been there for me. And I know I don't deserve His love, but I'm so grateful for it. It says, without Him, we are nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. And I just thank Him for it. And thank Him for the opportunity to fellowship. I know Hope and Phil have a lot of people staying with them over the years. It seems like every year they got a new family with them. But they take it in stride for the kingdom's sake. And I'm blessed to be a part of that. The witness, you know, been around the children, been around Hope, being around Phil, and getting that additional fellowship. So in whichever way Satan tries to come against us, God can turn it for our good, and he can bless us mightily in it. I mean, if you look at what Job went through, and it was just for the temptation, for Satan's gratitude, or for his own purpose, but God allowed it to test Job. But in the end, God blessed him mightily back for all the things they had lost. And the things, sometimes we don't know how strong God can be until we are tested in Him. And tested, what I mean is to finally just say, Lord, I got to that point when, after I talked to Ann, I just said, well, Lord, you know I want to go to the conference, but I've got these things in my path that are blocking me. And, you know, if it be your will, please clear the path and I'll go. And if it not be your will, and if it be your will that I stay, so be it. Either way, your will is accomplished. What is that to me? I'm here to serve Him. So whatever He has me do, He is glorified in it. So I just praise God that I had the opportunity to go to Texas, to fellowship, and to be a part of the body that we don't often get to see. Our body is there. Our body is in Arizona, Connecticut, Vermont. It's all over this country and even in Africa. And I just praise God that we have that opportunity once a year. Only to get the knowledge from Davey and Steve, the preaching, but also to have that brotherly fellowship in the Lord. thank you.
From Sunday service, that one of the phrases is embrace the freedom, is something that Philip said. And it's been a constant thing these past couple of days for me, embrace the freedom, embrace the freedom. So my question is, do you choose to embrace the freedom that he's given you, or do you choose to cling to the bondage that you put on yourself? Do you choose the worry, the fear, the doubt, the self-justification? Because if we choose him, if we believe him, then in him we have freedom. In him, none of the other stuff matters. None of it matters if we believe him and his word. We can choose to put all those things off. So it hit me pretty hard because I thought of all the times where I choose the bondage. I choose the fear. I choose the worry. It's not something that the Lord would have for me. So now it's one of going forward and embracing the freedom. Embracing the Lord and his freedom and the good things that he has for us. 2 Timothy 1:7. You guys probably know it now. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All of those things that the Lord has given us sound like good things. But we have to make a choice to grab a hold to those good things. We have a free will, and the Lord is going to force us into that. He has given those things, and we simply have to grab hold to them. Grab hold to his goodness. Stop grabbing hold to all the crap.
Good evening, everyone. I've had this word going through my head for the last week. I'm sure you've all heard it. It's awesome. It's a common word that a lot of people say. I happen to not say it that much because of this. When I was in high school, my youth pastor was talking to us one day, and he said that we should never use the word awesome except for when referring to God. I'm not sure he gave us a reason why, but I just said, okay. I never looked into it, never thought about it. That's just what I did. That's what I've taught my children. Don't say awesome unless it has to do with God. Well, we talked about being in awe, and we talked about God being awesome at the conference. So I said, well, it's probably about time that I look this word up. We know awesome would be filled with awe. And going back to Noah Webster, who wrote the first American dictionary and did most of which based upon the Bible and has similar, if not exactly the same, definitions as Strong's. Awe is, there's a couple that are generally the same, but to strike with fear and reverence. Fear mingled with admiration or reverence, or emotion compounded of fear, dread, or terror, with admiration of something great. But it does not necessarily imply love or affection. That's where the reverence comes in. If it's something that you revere, it's something that you love. And it's the properly placed fear of the Lord. Or, on the other side of it, if you're not in Him, and you see some wonderful work of Him, you are in awe of Him, and you are in holy terror of that which you are seeing, because it changes everything when you see how awesome God truly is. It makes you question everything that you've ever believed in, if that wasn't Him to begin with. It brought me to Psalms 33, verse 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spake and it was done. I think we kind of glaze over that a lot. In the beginning, God, He created the heaven and the earth. He spoke it. And it was done. It's just something we've kind of taken for granted. It's just something we always hear. Yeah, yeah, we know that. But think about that. He spoke it, and it came into an existence. He created everything out of nothing by speaking it. He saved us from having to go to hell for our sin by going there in our stead. These are all awesome things that He did. Our God is truly an awesome God. And I just, listening to Scott Stevens talking about being in awe and how he'd never really been in awe of anything except the Lord, or until the Lord showed him things. And I can't imagine there being anything else on this earth to be in awe of, because everything good comes from Him. And these are things that we just need to remember and not, oh yeah, well I know that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't become numb to it. When I think about what Scott was talking about, the follow through, you get stuck. And it's kind of like when you're batting, you get to right here, and you might hit the ball, but you got to follow through in order to actually hit the ball where you want it to go. And we all know where we want our ball to go. We need to have the follow through. And one of those things is to always just, don't be numb to it. Be in awe of Him. If you're continuously in awe of Him, you will want to serve Him in everything that you do. That's it.
God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. Good evening. Words have power. And that's the bottom line. You guys have heard David talk about, the take care, right? You guys understand that? Yes, yes? Okay. And what Melanie was talking, he spoke a word, and things were created. The word awesome, as an example, is a word that's sort of become slang or vernacular. It's used on an everyday sort of thing. Just like the name of God himself. Right? These words that were once revered and esteemed for the power that they were talking about are now just words that are thrown into the gutter and not regarded for anything. Now, to me, that would seem like a good trick of an enemy. Take the power out of words. Right? Now, when somebody says, oh, that's awesome, you just think, okay, must have been really cool. But I'll tell you, a few hundred years ago, 1,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, if somebody said that was awesome, they knew that you were speaking of the power of God. The same goes for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. How often is that used in just everyday language? Not to exclaim something of honor or glory, but something that's far worse. Just something to think about. These are words, and there's others that I try not to use. I try to take them out of my vocabulary because I want to save them. I want them to be special, to be used in power, because words matter. Words matter. Over in 2 Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now that is a verse that I find myself going back to quite often. Because I find myself in a place where I'm going, what do I do? How did this happen? And I'm scared. I'm afraid. For no reason. No reason at all. And the only reason, I guess a reason that I find myself there is because of unbelief and because I'm walking around in this flesh far too much. And I'm seeing and perceiving things with the 5 natural senses that I've been given as opposed to those 5 spiritual senses. I'm living in this body that's going to be cast down, it's going to turn back into dirt. Worms are going to eat it all up. As opposed to the 2 things. Number 1, that Jesus Christ gave me. And number 2, that he redeemed. And number 3, that will live forever. My spirit and my soul. I suspect there's some folks out there that are in the same boat. Or maybe, is it a canoe? No, it's probably like an ocean liner, right? And we got to get out of that boat. We got to get out of that ocean liner. We got to look at Jesus. Not at the circumstances that surround us. Not at that boat. But like Peter did when he stepped out in faith. With his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walked on that water. That was awesome. That was freaking awesome, wasn't it? Even Peter slipped back into that flesh, started to sink. He saw the circumstances and the storms and everything around him, and his eyes came off the Lord. And there it went. But when he realized it and cried out, "Lord, help me," the Lord was at hand, right there to grab him, to pull him up. Much like with Linda, she was in the flesh. Didn't see any hope. Everything's chaos. It's all out of control. What am I going to do? Well, the thing is, you can't do nothing. And that's what you were talking about. There ain't nothing you can do. Now you can seek the one that is power, that is love. Say, "Lord, help me." Set your eyes on him. Let him help you out. And praise God. That's what's been going on in your life. It's happened in my life in the past. I spoke about at conference one of the times when I was awestruck. That was pretty cool. There's been, I fear that I've forgotten how many times the Lord has been there for me. I fear that something slips from my head that I should be thankful for, that I should remember, that I should share. I'm sure that there is something slipped. But I tell you, I've seen his power and I've seen his love. And I've seen him there, right where I was, every time I've needed him. Since the first day that I believed on him, the day that I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. The Word says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In many ways, a lot of the stories in the sort of historical part of the Bible, right, like the Old Testament, where you see the men that stood, the women that stood, and all the history of the Jews. Elements of that I've seen. Well, let me just make sure that it's clear. Elements of the Lord's power where he's moved for others, I've seen in my life, and I've seen in the lives of folks around me, and I've seen that in ministers and others. It happened then. It's happening now. And it will continue to happen until the end. And that's the long and the short of it. Now, where are you going to come out? Are you going to come out on the side that you believe his word, that you believe his power, that you believe him, that you love him and he loves you? Or, over there in 2 Timothy where hope was, you could be on the other side. You can be an enemy of God. Where is it? I'll just start reading. We'll come to it. Verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of this gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light throughout the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. For I know whom I have believed." Gosh, that's where you want to be. That's where I want to be. That's where we should all be. And we can all be there now. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What is that that you, or here, that Paul has committed unto him unto that day? His soul, his spirit, his life. Everything he had. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now the verse I was looking for is not there, so praise God. I'm not going to bring it out tonight. See the faith of a man who's all in. No hesitation, no looking back. All in. Follow through, like Melanie said. I think I might have said it too. But that's where we need to be. And if you're not, better enjoy it now. Because you're going to find yourself in eternal hellfire and damnation.
Good evening. As I listened to the messages this evening, Linda is learning what it is to be Matthew 10:15. Wait a minute. That's not the one. 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. As the truth of the matter is, when we're walking around upright here in the flesh, there are times that other people are going to disappoint us, and they're going to be wrong. And it's wise to remember that, and it's wise to remember that Jesus Christ And the word of the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And in that is stability, and in that you can trust. And in that, there's a connection to where I'm going to wind up. Everybody else was kind of in various ways banging around the point about the word. Both the word of the Lord and words we use have substance and meaning. And we should make the most of that opportunity. And we should remember when we're listening to people and when we're talking ourselves. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That would be Matthew 12:34. And Luke 6:45. Good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That means the stuff that you bring forth and give substance and verbiage to needs to be the good things of the Lord from the heart. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, we go around and we spend some time in Timothy. And there's some good stuff. And a reminder of how good our God is. The stuff he gives us is power, love, and a sound mind. Not fear. And I spent some time this week explaining to a doctor, because he made a really good case why I should be going through chemo and then removal of the bladder. Well, the cancer is in the bladder. That's a cure. But if it gets outside of the bladder, then removing the bladder doesn't do any good at all, because it's no longer bladder cancer. And I understand that those are the tools he's been given to work with. But the truth of the matter is, me dwelling on the rightness or wrongness of their prescription led me to absolutely forget about the word of knowledge in the 30th of August service in Texas that Davey had, declaring that my healing was available. All I had to do was receive it. That was the Lord's plan for me. Was he going to heal me? Wasn't he going to be required of me to go through the medical processes. And I can't explain why I forgot about that. Doesn't make sense to me. But I got corrected. And the plan God has for me is a lot better than the plan the doctor has for me. And even if I'm wrong about that, the outcome and consequences of that are far better than the outcome and the consequences of the doctor chasing their tail. The downside of that is I'd be going to be with the Father real quick, hanging right there at the right-hand side of Jesus. I just don't see that as a downside. So, I'm sitting there explaining to him this week why, you know, I'm taking the position that I've been healed. And I respect you working with the tools you got to work with, but I got a different set of tools. And I trust my set of tools. He said, well, I don't diminish your faith. Take a couple more weeks, and if you're still there, then we'll do what you want to do. But you want to make sure that you're committed to what you want to do. I said, okay, I can do that. And pretty amicable, sort of. He didn't mock me. I didn't cast him to the wolves either. And the bottom line here, as you go through this 2 Timothy, like Scott did, unless you can agree with God in the same way Paul does, I question your commitment to the Lord. And it really comes down to, if you can't agree with Paul, I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If you can't agree with Paul on that, then get out. Get out. Because otherwise what you're doing is you're just mocking the God that we're supposed to be serving and seeking to please by returning faith to him that he first gave to us. And that's really the foundational position that changes who we are and how we operate here in the natural. By being believers in agreement with his word, in agreement with this testimony. These are the words that have substance and meaning and matter. There's life abundantly here, and life eternal as a result of agreeing with these words. And I'm done.
Well, good evening, everybody. Well, one of the things, I mean, Paul, you're talking about agreeing with Paul. And who Paul agreed with was Jesus Christ. And there's so many different ways we can look at that. And we, in so many different ways, we don't do it. I mean, it really is. I mean, you get advice, you get instruction, you get, you know, it's dumped upon us what to do. And it usually comes from those in authority down the line of chain. Just as Paul. And what happens is when we do this, well, that sounds good, but I'm going to go do my other thing, you just disagree with them. Hey, why don't you go do this? I don't think that's a great idea, and I disagree. What you do is you go and you disagree with them. And it happens continuously. How about just one? Servants obey those masters. Servants, obey your masters that are in the flesh, as unto the Lord. How many times are you clocked in, you're on their time? Or that supervisor that is over you, you're on their time. You answer to that person, you turn around and say, but Lord. Or he tells you to go do something, I don't agree with that, I think that's stupid, I'm not going to go about doing it that way. You disregard the commandment of the Lord right there. You disagree with them. But it happens with us all the time. And we can sit here and we can stand up here and we can preach this. And we can say this. But are you walking it? But are you walking it? You know, as you've seen Steve, we're out there during the chapel in that Sunday service, and was it Saturday? I don't remember. But when he was praying for everybody, you notice what he was doing? He was praying for what the people needed, what each and every single one of us needed. And a lot of times there was a counsel that was given to the people. Are you, as one that heard that voice, not anybody else, but you personally, I want you to look on yourself, upon yourself, did you personally listen to that, take heed to that, and go forward in that, or did you absolutely just disregard it, or was offended at it, and walked away? Pretty scary when you look out on those terms, because we like to sit in that place of in la-la land that we're somehow agreeing with His Word, and that which is given to us we completely reject. For us personally, at that time, for us. See, you're talking about Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Look, He's dealing with us as Steve was praying and giving us His counsel. The Lord was dealing with us right where we were at. Did you even listen to it? See, and it wasn't about Steve or how perfect Steve was or how great he was. You've seen him. He was testifying of himself, making fun of himself with the Super Steve. He was talking about how wrong he was. But does that negate his authority in the Lord and who he is in the Lord? No, not one bit. It didn't negate it back then and didn't negate it just a little bit ago. And it doesn't negate it now. And it didn't even matter if he fell all over himself the next day. puked up and fell in the same pit didn't matter, because that was for you. And that's how the Lord works, and that's how He works in His body. And if we will all just humble ourselves, I mean, that's the biggest thing. There's the humility part. If we would just humble ourselves and listen to it as the word of the Lord and obey it, man, the Lord can move mightily. In each and every single one of your lives. That wasn't for your bondage. That wasn't for your destruction. That wasn't just to be, oh man, that was mean. No, that was for your freedom, for your victory, for your victory in Him. And I was looking through Corinthians. It was a funny thing. I mean, in Corinthians, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up. But he talks about these things and the way that people are. And 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world. And the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of whom are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's all about Him. A little bit earlier in that, I'm just going to go up just to 26, one more verse up. It's really, I should have started. For you see your call, then, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You look around the room. We're some base people. If we're some base people, and it's to confound the wise, because we're some base people that the Lord has done a mighty work in their life. I mean, praise God. He's an awesome God. And our faith should not be in any man in the falling of it, or any person at all. It should be in Jesus. And when that person, and when we hear instruction from one another, it doesn't matter how they are. Because it's all about the Lord. He's just using that person to tell you something. And also that you can learn to humble yourself and listen. And it's for your good, for your freedom. The Lord's good. And your faith can't be in anything but Him. You can't take stock on what you have done. You can't take stock on how you are. You can't take stock on how somebody else is. You can't do it. If you're relying on anything else but Jesus Christ to save your hide, you've lost. It's so funny how seriously we take ourselves sometimes. It cracks me up. I crack myself up sometimes with it. Because we're a base group. And as I look around, people are taking so much stock in what they hold as dear, or think their own high-mindedness in situations and how they are. And that matters, and it doesn't. It's actually what the Lord uses to confound the wise. What does Paul say? I am glory in what? My infirmities and His weaknesses. As it was translated and made manifest to us. I mean, when David got the gospel, it was right after he fell. wasn't right after he defeated the Philistines. Even though he did give God glory in that. But he showed them the gospel as soon as after he fell. My testimony of one was just absolute messed up. And when I go tell somebody about Jesus, what do I go tell them about? How badly I screwed up and how good and awesome He is. But if we're not willing to believe on Jesus, what good is it? I just see two different points going off. And what happens is right here, you got this high-mindedness that we live in. That's false. That keeps us in bondage. Keeps us from going forward in the Lord. Because we take stock or did prideful and arrogant. We take stock in these things that we hold so high. And the truth of the matter, we're very base. And what I mean by that is when that person gives you that advice that comes from the Lord, but you turn around and you reject it because you're offended. Or because you hold it as it doesn't matter. Or you turn around and judge that person as being somebody of nothing. And you miss what the Lord has. You miss it. Or we look at that situation or that advice and say, that's too hard. Well, yeah, it's too hard. It's too hard for me. But it's not too hard for Jesus. And who are we supposed to be relying on? Jesus. I mean, we just read last night with the girls and I how two guys believed that God was able and God moved mightily and took out a whole garrison of Philistines. Man, it was awesome. Man, we got to believe like that. That's the belief that Abraham had. They counted on that. And David, they counted on him, his faith. Jesus' faith. What God was able to do, not what you can. To say, oh my, it's too hard because I'm this way, doesn't matter how you are. Because God is way bigger, that's what we count on, that's what we rely on. Or do you want to step and just trample all over the enemy and run victoriously in Jesus? He's already won the battle. He's given you everything you need. We talked about it in the conference. It's His faith that He gives you. His faith that He gives you. Man, that's even a bigger relief. So count on that. But the choice, man, that choice comes right smack down on you. You choose to agree, you can choose to disregard. But you're not going to stand before the Lord justified because of somebody else kept you from doing such and such. That's a lie. That kept you from believing Him. And that's all it comes down to. Because if you believe Him, you will keep His commandments. You would do as He says. You would take heed to the counsel. You will go forward. If you don't believe Him, you're going to go backwards. And you're going to sit in a hole and you're going to sit there and justify yourself. Why you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. God has not been not a doer of can't. He's been a doer of can. And we need to grab a hold onto that. He is well able. Let's take the BS that flies up in our hearts and our minds. Let's take those down. Let's stomp them under our feet. Let's not let it have rain anymore. Let's take heed to the freedom, the spirit, the love, the faith that He's given to us. Let's not make excuses why we don't have it. because it's a lie. We do. So reach out and grab it and run with it. I'm done.
I got
listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.